The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Monday, June 1st. Hey, happy, well, to me, June 1st is the first day of summer. I know it's not really, but when June hits, I'm expecting to look outside to see bright blue skies and sunshine and people walking around in shorts and all that stuff, but not today, ladies and gentlemen, because we have rain in the forecast, which is going to stay with us for a while. It was a rainy weekend, and so Mr. Nick Christensen, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
So did you do anything exciting and fantastic over the weekend, sir?
No.
Okay.
Obviously, the rain did not allow that to happen. So, yeah, no.
Well, my wife and I, fools that we are, we actually went to Linda Vista Golf Course, which is the only place we play, and we had good time. There weren't that many people on the course, and it was kind of fun. There was no lightning in the area, so that was good. We just got a few droplets on us, and we had a good time. I think it's fun. Now, of course, anybody that knows anything about lightning, you don't want to walk around with a metal stick in your hand.
Yeah, there's a reason you guys were the only ones on the golf course. So, yeah. Okay.
When we got there, we were not, we were just, the guy said, well, remember, it's kind of drizzling out there, but didn't mention anything about lightning, so we're good. If there had been a warning about lightning, we probably would have reconsidered and gone home, so.
Yeah, I mean, I was up in Polson, and yeah, we had some lightning Friday night, not so much Saturday during the day, but Saturday, like, evening, it really dumped, and then it was obviously all day pretty much yesterday, but yeah, it was not the June weather that you described earlier, let's put it that way.
Well, so. I know that we have been, you know, looking at a possible drought. But with all the rain and the moisture that's been around, I think we're in pretty good shape. I drive across the bridge. The Clark Fork looks high and running strong, and so that is obviously a warning for folks who like to float the river and that sort of thing. Probably not a good time to do it right now because the river is high and running fast, and there's all sorts of debris in the river that you wouldn't see because the river's so high. And if you happen to fall off, whatever device you're on, there's a good chance you might hit something underneath there. So please be extra, extra careful and just stay away from that for a while.
Good idea.
Yeah. So anything exciting with you over the weekend, sir?
No, like I said, the weather prevented all that from happening. Just kind of hung out and relaxed. And yeah, hopefully we get some better weather here as we get going in the middle of the week. I mean, it was frustrating last year going up to Polson in June because I can only kind of go up on the weekends, and every Saturday it felt like it rained every single Saturday, and then it was nice during the week. So I'm hoping this isn't the start of a trend. So I'm a little sour this morning, so we'll see how the rest of the month goes.
Well, I the last thing I want is for my producer and co-host to be in a nasty mood coming in on Monday because it rained all weekend, and that is not a good thing. I will lobby.
I already don't like Monday, so that doesn't help. So yeah, it's one of those.
I will get on my knees and lobby for you that we get some good weather here pretty quick.
Yeah, so. You can't golf, you can't go out on the boat, you can't do anything. You're just kind of stuck, just kind of listening to the rain. So, yeah, I'm hoping it was a one-off. And I know we need the moisture. Like, I'm fine with that. Let's just rain Monday through Thursday and then keep the weekends, you know, nice. I'm totally fine with that. So
that's one of the reasons why many, 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 many years ago when my grandparents were alive, they taught us how to play pinochle. And so
we played a lot of games. It was fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're up against our first break. We would love to know what's going on with you on this open phones first hour. Rob Nadelson will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour from the Independence Institute. And he'll, of course, taking your phone calls. Lots of things going on with Rob, author and constitutional scholar. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout on TalkBack. TalkBackers.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. Rain likely today, mainly before 4 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high around 62. The chance of precipitation up to 70%. A 20% chance of rain before midnight tonight. And mostly cloudy with low around 42. For Tuesday, a 40% chance of rain, mainly afternoon. Mostly cloudy later in the day. A high a little warmer, up around 68 degrees. Wednesday, back to sunshine. Although after all that rain, still flood watches in effect for high water on the rivers and streams.
Welcome back to Talk Back. It's the Monday, June 1st edition of Talk Back. We'd love to have you give us a call this morning. It's open phones at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Now, one of the things that was big on the news last night, there was a big fire. What happened, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, we can go to that first. There was a big fire Sunday afternoon at Axeman Recycling, where more than like 100 stacked cars were burned in their wrecking yard, and wow. Flames are up to like 50 feet high. It started just before 1 p.m. at the Y. They're still trying to figure out the initial cause, but crews found cars stacked, 3 to 6 high and fully engulfed, and they were in piles, and so they were, team members were like, taking cars away, and then fire crews were dousing the cars to make sure they were completely out and then removing them from the area. So they were going like one by one because, some fuel tanks were exploding. No injuries were reported.
Thank heavens.
They managed to protect the buildings on the property that were threatened when the crews arrived, which I know was their number one priority when they first got there. But yeah, a little scary when, you got a bunch of cars with oil and there were no fire hydrants in the immediate area. So there was like a water shuttle operation where they used 240,000 gallons of water and had to get help from crews from Frenchtown, Missoula City, East Missoula, Florence, Arlee. And then I know the Missoula Airport Public Safety helped as well. So
it was all hands on deck.
So yeah, but again, no injuries reported, so really good work by everyone who was involved. And some employees there at Axeman got on to the situation really quick because they had already put in, like, preventative fire breaks in the yard. So, about went as good as it probably could have considering the situation. So we'll have to wait and find out what the start was.
I'm sure there's an investigation underway, and as there is in every commercial fire. So absolutely, and I'm just really, really thrilled and glad that nobody was injured and they were able to put it out safely. And that's really scary.
And we were just driving back, like I said, from Polson, so if it was just before 1 o'clock, I mean, we might have missed it by minutes, because I think we got back to Missoula right around like 12:30-ish. I didn't look at the exact time, but we had just driven by there, and there was no smoke, no nothing going on. So it happened just kind of right after we had passed, which is kind of interesting.
What kind of weekend was it for you up in Polson? Was it rainy and cloudy and dreary and all that stuff, or what?
Oh yeah, yep, nothing but rain.
Okay,
yep.
Sorry about that.
You brought it up again, Peter. Now you're now I'm gonna go crazy. I was kind of moving on from it, but
okay,
now I'm remembering the dreary
sorry.
Weekend.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I looked. I had a I have a report here. I don't know. We get things delivered to our house. If anybody knows where we live, we live off St. Thomas Drive, but there's a long, like, 150-foot driveway to get to our house. So we don't worry much about porch piracy, right? It doesn't, because people have to look to find us. But I just was reading this report here. The Delivery Theft Index ranks U.S. states based on parcel theft risk factors, including online shopping levels, working from home rates, and wider theft statistics. Now, the where do you suppose Montana falls in that, in 1 to 10?
A 4, maybe?
The 4 is exactly right. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. You win. Yeah. The number one instance of porch piracy is in the District of Columbia. Mm. I'm sure right around the White House. Anyway, number 2 is Colorado. Number 3 is Oregon. And, of course, Montana is number 4. So when it comes to porch piracy, I guess we're pretty popular.
Yeah, I mean, I I have never experienced that, luckily for me, and I've had packages kind of sitting out for a little while. You know, whether I was living in a house or apartment complex, I haven't really heard of much. I think my dad had a package taken like once in the entire time he's been in his house. But now a lot of people get those Ring cameras. You know, not super expensive.
We have one.
Yeah, you just put it out front, and most porch pirates, you know, are smart enough to see that and know, well, let's move on to the next house because this one's recording me, and maybe it's not worth it to steal something from them.
Well, we have open phones calls coming in at 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We would love to hear from you about whatever you'd like to talk about. So, and again, as we look forward to the 9 o'clock hour, we have Rob Nadelson joining us, Senior Fellow in Constitutional Jurisprudence, at the Heartland Institute, which I didn't realize this, but it's actually in Illinois. So looking forward to hearing from Rob in the next hour. But I think Dave is calling right now. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800.
Oh, I don't have any calls coming in.
Really, Rob? I've got it right here.
Oh, maybe that's why. Are people calling and I don't have a screen working here? Ooh, that could be bad.
Let me go ahead and do this.
Here, I'll get it. I'll get it from the phone.
Okay, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I think you might have it locked now. Go ahead. There you go.
Hey, Dave. Good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. What's up, bud?
Yeah, since no one seemed to be calling in, I thought I'd tell a little story.
Go for it, bud.
Okay. You know, when I was a kid, in my bedroom watching TV, I watched a really terrible program on what the Germans did to the Jews in a concentration camp.
Right.
It's worse than anything I've seen on TV since. And I became a real adamant supporter of Israel and their survival. And, you know, and the $3 billion a year that we send to Israel. Well, but there is an event, and we're coming up on it. And the date was June 8th, 1967. And Israel was at war with Egypt. And they sent we had an American Liberty ship out in international waters. And Israel sent a squadron of aircraft to that ship. They shot it full of holes. And killed 34 American sailors,
right,
and wounded 171.
That was the USS Liberty.
Right. And then they went away, and then they proceeded to try to torpedo the ship, too. And after they gave that up, and the ship limped into harbor in I think it was Greece. And, you know, Israel said it was all...
I tell you what, we are up against a break. We'll finish that story when we come back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. So tell them today, I love you. Get screened. It could help save their life. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Hey, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And Dave, we interrupted you, so please go ahead. Please continue what you were talking about.
Yes, well, there was a huge investigation, and the bottom line was, you know, Israel said they were sorry. There was a mistake. But, you know, that sure, mistakes happen, but not one Israeli soldier, commander, general, or anyone was ever punished for the incident. It was just one of those investigations that seemed to, that Israel seems to always have, you know, and no results from it. And then there was I read also that in 1965 Israel stole nuclear material from us to create one of the first bomb. And it just seems like a pattern that you know, Israel does things and they apologize and say it was a mistake. And it's kind of, you know, I used to think Israel was the good guys, that they were somehow wore a white hat and they were better than everyone else. And that we, you know, I really wanted them to be that way. But, you know, they're not that much better than anyone else. They may be a little bit yet. But Israel, you know, they Israeli settlers beat up killed an American citizen in the West Bank, and there's an investigation, and nothing ever happens from it. And I mean, I've come to look at Israel a lot different than I used to. I'm much more questioning their actions, and it's sad that they're not living up to the white hat attitude. View I had of it.
Well, what you were talking about was the USS Liberty. It happened back in 1967. And, there was attack. I guess it lasted 23 minutes. It was carried out by air strafing and napalm bombing by four Mirage and Super Mysteries fighters, and gunfire and torpedo launches from the motorboats. So it was a directed attack. And so it's kind of hard to say, gee, we're sorry about that.
Right. And, you know, okay, they're sorry, but why not punish someone? They did send a lot of money to the relatives of the dead sailors, but I mean, I expect more from our friends. That's all I'd like to say.
Yeah, it says here in May of 1968, the Israeli government paid $3.32 million during that time, which is equivalent to about $30 million in 2025, to the U.S. government in compensation for the families of the 34 men that were killed in that attack. So, yeah.
Right. And I hope that, you know, that things get better, that Israel starts living up to their white hat attitude, in my mind, and starts, you know, because their attitude right now, I mean, if there's a bad guy that they want to kill, that, you know, and there's 20 or 30 other people around them, they don't mind wiping out that you know, 30 people to get the bad guy. And, I mean, that's not what we would do. We would wait and get the bad guy later when he's by himself. But, you know, it's sad. It's really sad.
Well, you know, we're not them, and I have no idea what the internal intricacies of that relationship are, but it doesn't look good from the outside looking in.
Well, thank you.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Yeah, 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5300. Nick, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was also a situation on Friday over the weekend where a man who was reportedly involved in an assault in Flathead County died after being shot by a sheriff's deputy. The Flathead County Sheriff's Office said the deputies responded to a report of an assault involving a weapon in the Emery Bay area of the Hungry Horse Reservoir. Wow. And during that incident, the man was shot by an officer and died, and the name of the man has not yet been released, and no deputies were injured during the event. In accordance with standard protocol, the Kalispell Police Department will conduct an independent investigation, and the agency hasn't released any other details yet, so we will follow that situation. But that also happened over the weekend.
Yeah, whenever there's the shooting involving a law enforcement organization, then a separate and independent law enforcement agency is selected to do the investigation. So there's, you know, no chance of any sort of you know, collusion or whatever. I mean, they have a very set, very a careful way of doing those things to make sure the investigation is secure. So. Anyway, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We'd love to hear from you. It's open phones, actually all the way till 9 o'clock this morning. And, of course, then we'll have Rob Nadelson joining us from the Independence Institute. He's, by the way, the senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence. Put that on a business card. And that's at the Heartland Institute, which happens to be in Illinois. And again, we'll be talking with Rob in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, we'd like to talk with you about whatever might be on your mind at on TalkBack. That's open phones, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Just been kind of a dreary weekend with lots of rain, drizzling, and that sort of thing. And just love to know what you're thinking about, what's on your mind, if there's something going on with you.
Election day is tomorrow.
Yes.
So if you guys want to call in and tout any candidate, or, I mean, if you haven't filled out your ballot yet, you better fill it out and get it down to the election center today or tomorrow.
So. You bet. Tuesday is election day. And yes, the polls will be open, I understand. Is that right? If you want to go down and...
I don't know about that.
Well, who knows? But get your votes in anyway. Get them in now. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout on the Monday edition of Talk Back.
Busy Bees Karma.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. Rain likely today, mainly before 4 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high around 62. The chance of precipitation up to 70%. A 20% chance of rain before midnight tonight. And mostly cloudy with low around 42. For Tuesday, a 40% chance of rain, mainly afternoon. Mostly cloudy later in the day. A high a little warmer, up around 68 degrees. Wednesday, back to sunshine. Although, after all that rain, still flood watches in effect for high water on the rivers and streams.
This is our shared heritage. But today we're divided, except for our love of wildlife and wild places they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And let's get right back to the phone. Say good morning to Rick. Rick, thanks for holding through the break, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, I called in last week about an initiative in Oregon to one of your guests. Can't think of his name right now. Anyway, how they were, there was an initiative to ban all hunting, fishing, farming, ranching, anything to do with any animals. And the governor of Oregon just came out this weekend, and she's totally against that initiative.
Good.
Given reasons of economics, yeah, I suppose so. Considering most of Oregon, most of eastern Oregon is ag, I would imagine that she would be against it. Anyway, so, and I can remember I was sitting in my room a long, long time ago, and I was watching a program. And did you know that in the 40s that a country killed almost 7 million Jews?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm right.
It was Germany. Yeah. It was Nazi Germany. Yes.
Sorry for the cynicism. The USS Liberty, the excuse was that it was shrouded in fog and it was mistaken. And I was just Dave always, when it comes to the Jews, Dave always never gives quite the complete story. Although it was a tragedy, it was investigated as a mistake, and I don't approve of what happened. I definitely do approve of the Jews, though. In fact, right now, since the Second World War, since the Holocaust, the Jewish population worldwide has not recovered from the Holocaust. The numbers haven't. And so, you know, for all you anti-Semites out there, there's still hope for you guys. So thank you.
For heaven's sake. All right, let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning, sir. You are on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just want to piggyback on that, too. The USS Liberty was, folks don't realize, it's a really important incident in the intelligence community. It was a signals intelligence ship. It was actually operated by the National Security Agency, and so...
Wow.
The SIGINT community has has had this kind of bubbling in the background for decades, ever since the incident. And as said, it was actually investigated and adjudicated. Tens of millions of dollars were paid to the crew members, families of the crew members who were killed, and survivors and various folks. Israel has apologized. My whole concern about this is that there have been thousands of friendly fire incidents over the last century, let alone over the history of warfare. Just in December, you had a U.S. Navy ship shoot down a U.S. Navy aircraft, FA-18, a friendly fire incident. Was that deliberate? You know, it was their ships bombed U.S. aircraft bombed U.S. Submarines. U.S. ships took out U.S. submarines. U.S. submarines targeted U.S. ships. In the fog of war, things happen.
Yes, they do.
My whole question is, why this particular incident, and why are we singling out the Jews? Out of all the hundreds and hundreds of incidents, pick the Liberty as another way to beat up on those evil Jews for doing something like this. So that's my whole objection to this topic. It's ridiculous. But to end on a lighter note, you were talking about not wanting to go out in the rain because of the lightning and stuff.
Holding the golf club, yeah.
I don't know if Nick is familiar with this story, how familiar he is with Lee Trevino and his history. But Lee Trevino was struck by lightning while out golfing.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
No, I do not. I'm not sure. Nick, did you hear about that, Lee Trevino being struck by lightning?
I remember hearing about that, yeah, like a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, this was way back in 1975. So mm-hmm. It was, he had required surgery for it and everything. But
wow.
He joked about it afterwards. He said that basically that if you're ever caught in a storm and you're worried about lightning, hold up a one iron. Mm-hmm. Because even God can't hit a one iron.
Most guys don't even have a one iron in their bag, so I wouldn't even know what to hold. Yeah.
Well, now you, what you do is you get one, and then if you're ever kind of lightning, so hold it up.
There you go. Lee,
it makes you 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Jeff, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to come right back. We have Annie, who's waiting to visit, but it is open phones all the way till 9 o'clock this morning, and then we'll be having Rob Nadelson join us on the phone from the Independence Institute, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence. So he'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. So please stay with us on this Monday edition of Talk Back. Continues on this Monday, June the 1st. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, and folks are waiting to visit with us on the phone. Annie is up next. Annie, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Oh, good morning, Peter. I just want to tell you how favorably impressed I am that you knew so much about the history of the USS Liberty. You know, there are quite a few books written about it, and one of them that I've read is one that's written by the survivors, including a deceased friend of mine, Ron Kuchel. So it's a story that's often forgotten, and you knew a lot about it. So that really impresses me favorably. And I just wanted to say, you know, quickly here, my name is Annie Bukacek, and I'm running for Public Service Commissioner, District 5. And there have been so many falsehoods told about the Public Service Commission and about me. And one particular egregious one, I just want to comment on that because I know we have limited time. But people talk about how there are food fights there at the PSC and how we're in disarray and how horrible everything is. And we have dealt with some very, very complicated internal problems there. And I'm extremely proud of our response team and how they handled an elected commissioner who is exhibiting very serious, unprofessional, and illegal behavior that was creating a toxic environment. So you know, the current PSC leadership is excellent. We work extremely well together, the three of us, and we work extremely well with our staff. So I know you know, Peter, not to believe everything you hear, but I just wanted to, that to me, that's the most egregious offense of all the multiple falsehoods that have been said about the PSC and about me.
Well, I know there are five districts, and there's Randy Panucci, Brad Molnar, Jeff Wellborn, Jennifer Fielder, and you and yourself, right?
Correct.
All right. Good to know. All right. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. It's always good to hear you, hear from you. Brad is standing by. Brad, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi, Brad. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Actually, the Public Service Commission between Dave Sanders and Nanny Bukacek, I think you're hitting the highlights here. But a little-known race, because we're talking to two guys that are campaigning very hard, is District 1 to replace Randy Panucci. And Jeff Patterson is a candidate that for the last year has been attending meetings online, in person. He calls up and he asks if he has questions. He wants to know what the background is. He's attended hearings, driven all the way to Billings to attend a trash hearing to know what that issue was about, how it went ahead. And he's the only one that has shown that initiative, and he's there to learn. And I think very importantly is he has a home lined up in Helena so that he, like I and several others, will be there every day, not just online for an hour. For a week, it pays $10,000 a month. It's a full-time job. It has full-time pay, and it should not be a side hustle for somebody. It has to be for people that are interested in the issues. He's shown that, and I think that is why he would be a perfect replacement for Panucci.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. And Frank is standing by. Frank, good morning, sir. You are on TalkBack. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Aaron Plant's subliminal messaging. He's in his advertisements. There's one, he refers to the bad hombres. Now, Trump said this as the same word 6 years ago, but bad hombre means bad hunger, not bad man. And it's just, if we're going to have a war on hunger, let's make every hungry person an enemy, then, I guess. But I think they should focus on what you're saying. Okay.
Well, it is election season, and the ads are everywhere, and you need to be, in my opinion, first of all, vote. My number one thing is vote, and be an informed voter. Know who you're going to vote for. Do some research. You know, maybe call people up. They want you to call them.
Oh,
yeah. And
by the way,
yeah. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, there is a company in Phoenix. It sells a cheese bean burrito called the bad hombre. Now, some of these, at these detention centers, they get overfed these frozen burritos, and it's actually making them sick.
It's a mess.
So,
yeah.
All right. It's a mess.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. All right. Should we get Dave back on?
I guess so.
Dave,
go ahead. Caller.
Go ahead, sir. You are on TalkBack. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, I want to correct the record on the attack on the Liberty ship. From what I've read, and I expect other people to Google it up and find out for themselves.
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, go ahead.
It was a bright sunny day. The sailors were out on the deck sunning themselves. In fact, one of the complaints the Israelis said was that, you know, there wasn't any wind, so the flag wasn't really blowing properly so we could see it was an American ship. But the Israelis knew that the Liberty ship was in the Mediterranean at that time. They had seen it come into the Mediterranean, and they'd been monitoring it. So the intelligence community was not talking to the military or vice versa, or there was something going on. But, yeah, it was a big screw-up. But, you know, yeah, when screw-ups happen, people should be punished. I mean, people should be demoted. I mean, when we have a screw-up, sailors or military people lose stripes over the thing. And just because it was a mistake doesn't mean it should be overlooked. And as far as it was an intelligence ship, no doubt about it. But it had a right to be there. It was not committing any crimes by being in the Mediterranean. So I'd like people to verify stuff before they say it. Thank you.
Dave, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And that leaves the phone lines open. If there's something on your mind, please, it's open phone. So whatever you want to talk about, that's good for us. 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And, of course, we are talking to a lot more people now all over the state of Montana. So if there's something going on in your community in central or eastern Montana and you want folks to know about it, talk about it a little bit, please, the phone lines are open for you as well at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. So, and again, in just about 10 minutes or so, we'll be wrapping up open phones. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Rob Nadelson will be joining us from the Independence Institute. And we always have a great time when Rob is with us. So hope you'll stay with us. And open phones continues right after this quick timeout right here. A talk back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Please stay with us.
You've just had anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Just how old is that song? I think it's 1968, 67, something like that. Anyway.
I just know every time you hear the intro, you probably want to hear the whole thing.
I do.
It cuts it off and you're like, grr, grr, grr.
I just want to get to the drum solo because that's what I used to play.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to just cut the drum solo to start for one of the intros.
That, well, you know, the many wonderful ways that I get to annoy Nick is doing the whole tap on the, you're not supposed to tap on that. It's just sensitive stuff there.
You've gotten a lot better since way, way back. Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway, our phone lines are open. It is open phones, ladies and gentlemen. And if there's something going on with you, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And you have something there you want to
share. Yeah, and Lua calls, still in the news, Thursday. There was a surprise encounter between a bear and a hiker in Glacier National Park. Yeah. GNP officials said in a news release that it happened in the Grinnell Glacier Trail. They didn't say whether there were any injuries to people or the bear, and they haven't been able to confirm if it was a grizzly or a black bear yet, but that trail was temporarily closed as of Thursday. I'm not sure if it's opened back up yet. I'll have to look on that. But no other details were released, so it was pretty vague. We were going to wait for an update as more information came out. But you got to remember, earlier this month, search and rescue crews discovered the body of a missing hiker with injuries consistent with a bear encounter in Glacier. And so it's just, you got to be real careful if you're going to go recreate, especially right now. I mean, the bears are out. So
yes, they are.
Carry bear spray, know what you're doing. And just be very careful because, they're... You don't want to run up on a mama with cubs or, bears are hungry right now this time of year too. So, yeah.
No, the one thing that they encouraged us on when we went to visit Glacier is never to go anywhere alone. You know, I mean, if you have a large group of people with you, or maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 people in a hike, taking a hike together, and you're making noise and laughing and talking and whatever, the critters will get out of the way. They don't want to encounter you. But when you're by yourself, just walking along, and you come across a very large bear, you don't have many options.
And make sure if you are with a group that you are not the slowest of the group. So that you can, obviously joking, but yeah, if you're in a group too, everyone needs to be bear aware and know what's going on.
So. You bet. All right, let's get Ed on the phone. Ed, it's open phone, sir. What's on your mind, please?
Yeah, something of local Missoula interest. There appears to be a problem with feral horses up Miller Creek.
Yes, and the city council is going to be doing something about that, I guess, at an upcoming meeting.
Yeah. When this sort of thing happened in the Pryor Mountains, you know, the wild horses down there, somebody bought them, and somehow they ended up in France.
In France?
In France.
Wow.
Because they ended up on the menu in France.
Oh no!
Yes.
Because they like to eat. What's that old movie? They shoot horses, don't they? They eat horses, don't they? Right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm not proposing that, but also you can ship them to Oregon. Okay, they'll take good care of them.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, I grew up with horses, and I absolutely loved them. I had my own. Mickey was his name, and he and I were good buds, I did a story about this, going around the Miller Creek roundabout. There was like 12 or 13 wild feral horses there just jumping up and having fun and disappearing, and I did a story about it with a woman who was an amazing horsewoman here in Missoula, told me the whole story about that Oral Zumwalt rodeo, a herd that was let loose and just are taking care of themselves now. Go ahead, Nick.
They say just leave them alone. I mean, because they've been there for a while, and they'll pop up every now and then, I think. Yeah, so.
You bet. Yeah. And they're beautiful to watch. And anyway, so go ahead, Ed.
Yes, indeed. Now, that's it. Just, like I say, send them to France. They'll figure out what to do with them.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Well, are you going to pay for the shipping? I don't know.
No, they must pay for the meal, tell you the truth. They must charge a lot for a meal of that stuff. But anyway, enough disgusting stuff.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Hey, we are coming up against the top of the hour here in about another minute or so. So we don't have time to take any more calls, but we are encouraging you to stay with us in the 9 o'clock hour, because one of our favorite, actually one of our original guests on TalkBack is Professor Rob Nadelson with the Independence Institute. And he's a senior fellow, by the way, in case you didn't know, the senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at something called the Heartland Institute, which is located in Illinois. And I know a lot of folks out there want to get in the queue and talk with Rob because he is a Montanan, and we are eagerly looking forward to hearing from him, finding out what's going on with his research. I know he wrote a book called The Original Constitution, What It Actually Said and Meant, and I understand it's in various revisions now over the years, I think the fourth or fifth revision of his book. So, and of course, he's a scholar, and he's fun to talk to as well. So we are looking forward to visiting with him in the 9 o'clock hour. If you'd like to get in the queue, feel free to give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, Peter Christian here, Mr. Nick Christensen right over there producing TalkBack this morning. And TalkBack, of course, right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network statewide throughout Montana. We hope that you will be a part of the fun in the next hour. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning once again, everyone. It is hour number two of Talk Back on this Monday, June the 1st, and it's a good way to start the month when we have one of our favorite guests, one of the original guests on Talk Back. As a matter of fact, former host of Talk Back many years ago, Rob Nadelson joining us. Rob, good morning, sir, and welcome back.
It's great to be back, and if I could, I'd like to dedicate my participation today to Tom Keating, former Senator Tom Keating of Billings, who died recently. His funeral was on Friday in Billings. I hope to be there. Tom was my running mate when I ran for governor of Montana in 2000. And our slogan, the Nadelson Keating ticket, was making Montana the first best place.
I like it. I like it. Excellent. Well, Rob, I want to give you the first few minutes here, the next 3 minutes, if you wouldn't mind, just sharing what you've been working on in your scholarly efforts. What kind of things are you working on?
Well, I'm co-authoring an article with Liam McCullum, a good Montanan, on the militia clauses of the U.S. Constitution. And the reason that's relevant is that it seems that when a natural disaster happens and a governor wants to deploy the National Guard, which is the modern name for militia, it half the time his National Guard members are located in places like Iraq because they've been commandeered by the federal government. So I'm examining what the Constitution has to say on that issue with the hope of trying to come up with some delineation, some guidance as to what the federal and state powers, respectively, are supposed to be over the militia. And then, in addition to that, in the honor of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, I've authored a series of 6 articles on the Declaration of Independence for the Epoch Times and for Mountain States Policy Center. 5 of those have already been published in the Epoch Times, and the first one has been published at the website of the Mountain States Policy Center. And basically, they review the run-up to the Declaration of Independence, what it was, why it was structured, the way it was, and the legacy of the document.
Well, I could just imagine. I know that your world is all about research and scholarly activities, and I imagine that the average layman doesn't really understand, you know, the Herculean efforts that went into the creation of this country and specifically our Constitution.
Well, yeah, that's true, Peter. I mean, people kind of assume that 55 men got together in Philadelphia one summer and sort of just wrote it up out of their own heads. In fact, there was an enormous amount of history behind it, an enormous amount of research, of learning that the founders went through in order to produce the document. It truly is an extraordinary achievement, but it's an achievement like the Declaration of Independence, based a lot on prior history. Both the framers of our Constitution and those who wrote and approved the Declaration of Independence truly stood on the shoulders of giants.
Now, we have about a minute before we take a quick commercial break here, and folks are already lined up to visit with you. Are you working on any new books? I know that you're constantly busy.
Not the book, but the militia article, the one that discusses how the Constitution handles the militia, and again, that's the National Guard today, is turning out to be long enough that I think the darn thing may be a book. I didn't intend it that way, but it just goes on and on and on. My explanation won't go on and on, so I'll terminate it there, but I don't want to have anybody feel sorry for me because I really love this stuff.
Well, the work that you do is beyond most of us, and we really appreciate the fact that you're willing to come on our show and answer questions from folks and especially about your amazing history of constitutional jurisprudence. We're going to come right back. We have Rob Nadelson joining us on the phone, and we'll be back with Nancy, Skip, Catherine, and Harry all wanting to visit with you when we come back after this.
Montana weather.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. Rain likely today, mainly before 4 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high around 62. The chance of precipitation up to 70%. A 20% chance of rain before midnight tonight. And mostly cloudy with low around 42. For Tuesday, a 40% chance of rain, mainly afternoon. Mostly cloudy later in the day. A high a little warmer, up around 68 degrees. Wednesday, back to sunshine. Although after all that rain, still flood watches in effect for high water on the rivers and streams.
We've got folks waiting on the line to visit with you. Nancy, you're up first. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Gloria. Good morning, Rob. Okay, it seems like
Nancy, before you go any further, did I hear you on Hugh Hewitt the other day?
You sure did. I talked to the man several times.
I think I know that voice.
Oh, the vocal quality. Everybody knows Nancy from Roundup by her vocal quality. Okay, Rob. And I just want to say that it seems to me that Iran is a continuation of World War II. You know, we stopped the Nazis and the Japanese. Now we're going after the extremist Islam. And but during World War II, we had help from our allies in Western Europe, and they're not helping us this time with Iran. And Iran is actually a world problem. It's not just a problem for the United States. And I'm really worried about this. Western Europe has gone bonkers. They've gone socialist, and they've picked up on these extreme climate change agendas and things like this, and the Muslim population there is really overthrowing their governments. And they're not paying into NATO like they should, and they're actually completely ignoring NATO, and we're getting stuck with this bill. And I want to know, Rob, what can the United States do? Can we actually pull out of NATO? I think it's time that we should really consider that. And how hard would that be? And thank you. And I just want to say happy birthday, America, because I don't think you're going to be able to get on the air in July, because it'll be a 4th of July celebration. So, Rob, enjoy birthday cake.
Well, Nancy, you are talking in an area in which I have no expertise. And therefore, of course, I will respond. I sometimes wonder about the moral clarity of the Europeans because, yes, it's true, we fought by their sides against the Nazis. On the other hand, the fact is that there were a lot of collaborationists in France. I mean, they formed a whole Vichy government, which was a puppet government for the Nazis, which was run by people who wanted to collaborate with the Nazis. And then in Britain, we normally think of Britain as standing bravely against the Nazis, which certainly she did, but that was because of Winston Churchill. The British ruling class turned to Winston Churchill as kind of their last choice. I mean, there were a lot of people in Britain who were collaborationists. This was captured in the movie The Darkest Hour. And so there seems to be a lack of moral clarity. It's just easier, I think, to deceive yourselves and think everything's going to be okay if you stick your head in the sand. And I think exactly the same thing is true of Iran. I mean, we've seen the nature of that government in that when we and the Israelis attacked Iran, they didn't limit themselves to attacking us, but they threw missiles at every other country in the region. I mean, these people are really wacko. And so I think the president is right to take a very strong stand against them. I just wish he had enlisted Congress before doing so. Perhaps with a declaration of war, with some other kind of support, because the problem of Iran is one that we need to meet. And if we don't do it now, it's going to be worse later.
Pay me now or pay me later, right? Let's get Skip on the line. Skip, good morning. You're on, please. You're on with Rob Nadelson.
Hi, Skip.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Good morning, sir. I almost forgot my question because when you and Nancy get talking about history, I get involved in the history lesson. So now I'm going to come back and bring my mind back to that compartment. And it has to do with the Mountain States Policy Center. And with this upcoming election cycle, and we're going to have our first legislative session in the beginning of 27 and then one more in 29 before the end of this decade. Could you just give us some cliff notes on a few things that we need to know about what we could get set up in a good way, or things that we could do a better job with in Montana, as example, a Supreme Court or redistricting, if we can have a constitutional convention and maybe have an amendment. And by the way, if we have a constitutional convention, do you think it should be a complete rewrite, or we should attack it as if we need to do some amendments to our constitution? Just a couple light little ideas like that.
Thank you, Rob.
And by the way,
it'll take me a while to go through all that.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try.
Thanks, Skip.
First, I want to make clear that the Mountain States Policy Center is the organization under whose rubric I work on Montana issues. I work on national and Colorado issues under the rubric of the Independence Institute. Now, as to what, and of course, Mountain States does not take a position at all in elections. I mean, the nature of its organization prohibits that. What could Montanans do better? Well, Montanans are doing pretty well now, a lot better than I would say they were doing 25 years ago. But I think you're right. I think the state constitution needs to be reexamined. I do not believe it needs a complete rewrite, but I do think that very important changes need to be made. A principal one would be the insertion of tax and expenditure limitations. There already is a debt limitation in the state constitution, but there need to be limitations on spending and taxes, which exist in the constitutions of many other states. I think also that there needs to be a change in judicial elections. I believe in electing state court justices and judges, but I think they ought to be free to declare party affiliation if they want to. And the parties ought to be free to dive into these elections if they want to. More information, more participants is better. Better to have the parties out there leading the charge than have dark money groups doing it. And so those are two areas. Reapportionment,
Rob, we have about 20 seconds.
We have
20 seconds before we take a hard break. And the phone lines are full, so we're going to get lots of calls in. And we really appreciate your willingness to take all these calls. Our number, 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. Our guest, Rob Nadelson, with the Independence Institute and the Mountain States Policy Center, back after this quick timeout.
Smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
Life is full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you and join the mission.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back. We're honored to have with us Rob Nadelson with the Mountain States Policy Center and the Independence Institute joining us on the phone. And folks are lined up to talk with you, Rob. Catherine, good morning. You're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. Hi. Two-part question, if you will. Governor Newsom of California has said that he will unilaterally impose a 100% tax on any monies dispersed to victims of the Capitol kerfuffle, and I refuse to call it a riot because it really wasn't one. Is the fund that Trump wants to form to pay the citizens arrested during and after this episode constitutional? And can a state executive unilaterally seize funds?
Well, the state executive can't unilaterally pass a tax or a seizure like that. That would have to be approved by the California legislature. And I've been thinking on this issue, gee, is there anything in the federal constitution would prevent California from doing that? And I'm not sure there is. I mean, I suppose you could argue that it's a Fifth Amendment taking, but on the other hand, taxes generally don't qualify as taking. So it's an interesting question. I don't have a definitive answer, but I think offhand it's probably okay constitutionally. It's obviously not okay morally.
Okay. So it wouldn't matter which state would do something like this? So any state could possibly do that and it would be okay to do?
Here's the difficulty, Nancy. There's a type of argument that the Supreme Court sometimes entertains called a structural argument. And what a structural argument is one where the Constitution doesn't say something explicitly, but it implies certain restrictions. So, for example, if a state imposes very heavy burdens on goods that come in from out of state, the court has a doctrine that deals with that and strikes those burdens down. I suppose the Supreme Court might say, "Look, what the state is doing is it's interfering with federal supremacy in an area where the federal government has the right to act." So, if the federal government creates a liability fund to help those who were unfairly burdened by lawfare, then an attempt by a state to impose 100% tax is basically trying to undercut a federal law in an area where the federal government's supreme. I don't know whether the court would do that or not. I tend to not be enthusiastic about arguments like that, but I think that's one way that the California tax could be attacked.
Catherine, okay. Thank you for the call, ma'am. All right, let's get Harry on the line next. Harry, good morning. You're on with Rob Nadelson. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Rob.
Hi there, Harry.
Good morning. First a comment, then a question. Comment is, you said you got on Trump's side after he had the assassination attempt, that you thought that was a brave. But to me, bravery is not shaking your fist at somebody shooting at you. That's just stupid. But and my question, is that about the slush fund or whatever, the $1.77 billion that Trump wants to get together, is that constitutional? Can he just take money from, I don't know where, I guess it was from the defense fund. I don't know where he's getting this money, but can he just take money and just do what he wants with it? I know he's kind of did that with
Harry,
the wall.
Harry, in answer to that question, I'm like you. I'm not exactly sure where he's getting this money, and whether he can do it or not legally depends upon where he's getting it. You know, there are some laws, some appropriations that give the president a lot more leeway than others. Like many other Republicans, I'm kind of skeptical of this action. I guess the devil is in the details. There unquestionably are some people who were unfairly subjected to
persecution by the Biden administration, who should be compensated. But whether it will be actually limited to those folks, I don't know. As to the idea of standing up, shaking up, and saying fight, 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 yeah, I think it was brave, because sometimes
When somebody's shooting at you, I think the smart thing is to duck and get your head out of the way. But
that's normally true. I would agree with you, but there are other things to be considered too. A panic could very well have ensued, in which people people were trampled or even killed. His standing up there was a way of reassuring people, redirecting what might have been their panic into enthusiasm. And so sometimes, I agree with you, 90% of the time, when you're being shot at, duck and stay down. But sometimes there's a need to do something in which you endanger yourself.
Now, Rob, is that a leadership function?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is a leadership function. Part of leadership is taking personal risks when necessary. I mean, I encountered this myself in Montana when we were working on our popular initiatives. My family got death threats, and we got threats of other natures as well. And people would say, "Well, you know, Rob, you're being really courageous." But the point is that there was a greater good that needed to be served here,
right.
And unfortunately, I had to undertake some risk to do that.
We're gonna take a quick break when we come back, and Rob Nadelson will be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. We have Al, Jeff, and Angel all standing by to visit with Rob Nadelson. So several phone lines open still, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, you're listening to Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll return right after this.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
My doctor said I could use something called a biosimilar. Then she told me what it is.
A biosimilar is a type of biologic medication. Just like brand name drugs have generic versions, original biologics can have biosimilars.
So I asked what the benefits are and if they work the same.
Biosimilars have the same safety, effectiveness, and quality as the original biologic. They also offer more medication options at potentially more competitive prices.
My doctor said I could learn more at fda.gov/biosimilars.
Welcome back. This is Talk Back with us Monday, June 1st. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Our special guest on the phone is Rob Nadelson, and let's get right back to it. If folks are lined up to talk with you, Rob. Al, go ahead. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Nadelson.
Good morning, sir.
My question comes from an article that was in the Missoulian approximately a month ago. I'm looking at it here. It's Saturday, March 7th, page A2. Huge article on the top third of the paper. The headline is Bodner Reports $550,000 Fundraising Haul. My question comes from the second to the last paragraph, one sentence, if I could read you the sentence. Bodner was thrust into the political limelight in January after a text message from former U.S. Senator John Chester started to circulate that called the Democratic Party poison. Let me repeat that. John Chester started to has a text message that called the Democratic Party poison and encouraged insiders to back the then U of M president as an independent. My question is, have you read the text message or heard what it says? Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
No, I haven't. All I can say is I understand that it has become the strategy of the left in Republican states to run independents. The idea being that the Democratic Party is poison in a strongly Republican state, and therefore if they can run a liberal as an independent, they'll try to do so. My understanding about Mr. Bodner is that, in fact, he's quite liberal, and running as an independent would be in keeping with that national strategy of trying to go under the radar.
All right, let's get Jeff on the line next. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Rob.
Hey, good morning again, Rob. We get to share you now with the rest of the state. That's wonderful. Before I get to my questions, I learned a quote about leadership. I heard somebody say something about leadership in 1978 that I adopted as my own definition. And that said, a leader is someone you would follow into hell because you know they'd find you a way out. And, great leaders have done things that look stupid in terms of personal survival. But those folks who charged into the Twin Towers after they'd been hit by aircraft, were they stupid for doing that or were they brave? I would say that they were brave.
I would agree with you. They were brave. That's because while it's foolish to risk your life for nothing, when there is a very great good to be gained by risking your life, then a leader does it. It comes with the territory if you want to be a leader. Leadership is a really interesting subject, by the way. It's a very rare quality. It really, and when you find it, if you find it, I don't know if I would follow the person into hell, but I would certainly gladly follow that person if I shared his values.
Yep. Two questions, Rudy, if I could. In the news, there's been a lot of activity around Delaney Hall in New Jersey, the ICE detention facility, and barricades and folks ripping up stuff and making walls and blocking things.
Yeah.
Constitutionally, my first question is, when does civil disobedience rise to the level of insurrection? And then my second question is, the Trump administration has also begun denaturalizing certain people who they say got naturalized fraudulently and revoking their citizenship. Is it possible to revoke the citizenship of someone who was born here in the United States who has birthright citizenship, or is that a completely different animal?
Those are two very, very, very tough questions. Although I'm a constitutional scholar, that doesn't follow that I know
everything about federal statute. Tell you what, Rob, if you don't mind, I want you to give a full and complete answer to that. But unfortunately, we're coming up against a hard breaker, as we do often. Hang on to that, and we're going to come right back. And we still have Angel and Dave standing by to visit with you. And the phone lines are open, by the way, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, Rob Nadelson, the Mountain States Policy Center and the Independence Institute is going to be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. So if you have a question or a comment, feel free to give us a call at 406-721-1290. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout on TalkBack.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
Parents have a lot to get done in a day.
Sit tight, hon, I'll be right back.
But even when we're rushed, always remember, temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left in the car. Every time you park the car, stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Again, honored to have Rob Nadelson joining us this morning. And you were right in the middle of about to answer a question, a couple of very important questions from a listener. So please go ahead.
Yeah, I said I was not familiar with the details of the naturalization statute, but I have found the answer. So on the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services website, there are three bases by which a naturalized citizen can have a citizenship revoked. One, if he simply was not legally eligible for citizenship at the time he got it, you know, it was a mistake or a lie as to how long he lived in this country or other aspects of naturalization. And it's discovered that if he procured naturalization illegally, then that could be revoked. Secondly, if the citizen concealed a material fact, made a willful representation to the U.S. government that enabled him to get the citizenship, and then later it's discovered that he lied, a revocation could occur in that instance. And then finally, if somebody got naturalized status as a result of honorable service in the armed forces, but then was discharged under less than honorable circumstances, naturalization can be revoked. The other question that was raised is the distinction between insurrection and simple disobedience to laws. I don't think that there's a bright line there. It happens that I've been in my study recently in the militia clauses of the Constitution, this question comes up because the militia or the National Guard can be called forth if there's an insurrection. It could also be called forth if there are certain violations of federal law. So I don't have a firm answer to that, but here are two clues that were offered by James Madison at the Constitutional Convention. One is if there's widespread smuggling. Well, widespread smuggling is an organized flouting of federal law, but it's not insurrection. And another example that was cited by Madison is that of a riot. A riot can involve widespread violation of law, but there may not be an intent there to overturn the U.S. Government. There's been continuing debate, obviously, over whether the disturbances on January 6th of 2021 at the Capitol was an insurrection or a riot. I tend to think it was a riot rather than insurrection. On the other hand, some of the conduct by people during the riots during the summer of 2020 really looked more like insurrection, like the establishment of liberation zones in cities like Portland and Seattle, where they purported to keep out rightful law enforcement entirely. That looks more to me like insurrection.
Well, my daughter lives in Seattle and lived through that time, and it was very frightening for especially that particular area of Seattle when they finally got it all taken care of. There was a big sigh of relief.
Yeah, I mean, and not all the people who were rioting in Seattle were insurrectionists. But those who actually set up zones that purported to be free of the government of the state of Washington or the government of the United States, they were insurrectionaries, I think.
You bet. Let's get Angel on the line. Angel's been waiting the longest. Angel, good morning. You're on with Rob Nadelson. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like you to clarify something for me. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Angel. Go ahead, please.
You referred to the National Guard as the modern-day militia, Now, I know our founders addressed that when they asked what is the militia and said, but the whole of the citizenry. And I know the original text of the Second Amendment, and they added in the militia clause, from my understanding, because they just came out of a war with England where leery of giving up power to a central government and wanted the ability to raise their own militias if necessary. So I'm under the understanding that the National Guard is funded by the federal government. So it doesn't seem like it would be what I would consider a traditional state militia. So I was wondering if you could clarify that.
All right. Thanks for the call, sir.
Yeah, you know, the National Guard, under federal law, members of the state militia are also required to be members of the National Guard. Now, my research in the area of militia is by no means complete, but if you're asking what the term militia means in the Constitution, that may be somewhat different from what it means in other contexts. For example, the Montana Constitution basically refers to the militia as, and this is my recollection, all able-bodied persons between 18 and 45. But the militia, as it was understood at the time of the founding of the U.S. Constitution, they sometimes talked about all people being in the militia. But as a practical matter, it was a select body. It was not everybody. It was people who were actually enrolled, or as they would say, embodied in state armed forces. So it was a select body. It was part-time, so part-time citizens, and they were dedicated only to defensive actions, and they did not leave the country. The one reason why the whole idea of the National Guard kind of absorbing the militia is controversial in some quarters is that the National Guard is very often not part-time and certainly not wholly defensive. I mean, we send National Guardsmen to Iraq, and many people have argued that that's unconstitutional, that there needs to be a redefinition of terms that's more in keeping with the Constitution. Well, once I finish all my research and I finish the article, I'd be happy to devote an hour on the radio explaining all my conclusions. But yeah, there's a very definite blurring of the lines there that is that is controversial, and it seems to be at odds with the Constitution's use of the term militia.
And with that, we are coming up against a hard break here, and Chris is still waiting on the line, and seven other phone lines are open too. Another 10 minutes with Rob Nadels in this hour just flies by when we're with Rob, and we appreciate him answering all your questions this morning. Our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, thanks so much for joining us all over the state of Montana as we enjoy TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana weather.
In the U.S., a vehicle is stolen every 31 seconds. Protect your car. Remove valuables. Roll up your windows. Lock your doors. And take your keys. Report crime to the police. And if it's insurance fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Hey, we are back on TalkBack, and our special guest on the phone is Rob Nadelson with Mountain States Policy Center and the Independence Institute, and, of course, author and a friend of TalkBack, one of the original founders of TalkBack about years ago. But Chris has been waiting on the line to visit with you, sir. So, Chris, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Chris.
Rob, it seems to me that the national debt and the money and the way they write laws and do away with them is very, very difficult. 1974, Congress passed the Budget and Empowerment Controlling Act. That was to stop the chief executive who was in an executive move. And that was by Nixon. So when you look over the years, the way our national debt has crawled up and caused such great harm to this country,
you would think that somehow we would be able to get into the Constitution and restructure this act. I looked it up on the Internet, and it's still there. Yes, Congress Budget is Impound and Control Act of 1974 is still in effect. So it seems to me we need to somehow get their heads together and look at the national debt and how it's inflated, and people use that because they want to spend money. And when you see the outrageousness of how it's controlled, it's ridiculous. So it seems to me that there's something that we're doing not correctly that's causing this problem. And it seems like it's this one here since 1990. The national debt was $3 trillion, and now it's like, what, $30, $40 trillion? So, I mean, something is wrong, folks.
All right. Thanks for the call, sir. Rob, your thoughts.
Well, this is a multifaceted issue, okay? I'm not a big fan of impoundment unless Congress gives the president authority to impound funds. The president's job is to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, and if Congress is... If the law that Congress passes and the president signs says the money is supposed to be spent, then I don't think the president can stand in the way of that. On the other hand, Congress can pass more of its appropriations, giving the president power to not spend the money under certain circumstances. Congress also experimented with the line item veto, which the governors of most states, including Montanans, have, where the president, instead of vetoing an entire appropriations bill, can simply identify certain line items and veto those. Well, and an effort to do that was declared unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. I think the only real solution here is constitutional amendment, a balanced budget amendment or something like it. Congress, however, has demonstrated very clearly over the last 50 years it will not propose a balanced budget amendment, which is why I favor, or one of the reasons I favor, a convention of states, which is a convention to propose amendments, that's the Constitution's term for it, that would allow the states to actually propose and then ratify separately a balanced budget amendment. There's still another problem here, too, and that is that in 1936 and 1937, the Supreme Court interpreted the Constitution, in my view, erroneously, to allow the Congress to spend whatever it wanted to. And after those two decisions, in 36 and 37, Congress has very seldom balanced its budget, although it used to balance its budget before that, most years in peacetime. So you've got multiple problems, which I think only can be solved by a constitutional amendment, and the only way to do that is for the states to join in a call for a convention for proposing amendments. That has been proposed multiple times in Montana, and thus far the Montana legislature has refused to do it, and I think that is a shame and, frankly, inexcusable.
Rob,
so that's my reaction to the debt and spending problem.
We've got about 2 minutes, a little less than 2 minutes left. So, can you wrap up some things you're working on, other issues you'd like to tackle?
Yeah, let me mention another case that I find kind of enigmatic. It was issued by the U.S. Supreme Court last Thursday. The case is called Flower Foods Incorporated versus Brock. Flower Foods is the outfit that sells Wonder Bread. They sell it all over the country. And the question before the court was whether somebody who helped to distribute Wonder Bread and other products, a guy named Brock, who picked them up in Colorado and then delivered them in Colorado, whether he was engaged in interstate commerce. Now, this case should have been pretty uncontroversial. I mean, he was part of what the court has long called the chain of commerce, or of commerce.
Only got about a minute left, Rob.
I'll be quick. That this comes in where commerce comes in from another state, and he's part of that chain, and so traditionally he'd be part of the chain of commerce, and the lower courts decided that was the case, and the Supreme Court decided it was the case, and so I and the court was unanimous. And so my question is, why did they even take this case?
Right.
And I think one possible answer may be
that in the more in Congress's more extreme uses of the commerce power, they may be laying the groundwork for potentially putting some curbs on Congress's power in that area.
Rob,
if so, it would be long overdue.
It is always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to our next visit. Thank you.
Thank you. See you in July.
You bet. Okay, Mr. Nick, what's coming up tomorrow, sir?
It'll be Global Hotspots with Mirdad and Michael, and that'll be 8:30 to 10.
All right, good deal. And again, thanks so much to Rob Dadelson and all of you for calling this morning. We appreciate it. Get out and enjoy the day. And thanks for joining us on this edition of Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.